Okay, so speaking of different products that are kosher for Pesach or not kosher for Pesach, so I want to explore actually a very interesting issue, and that's the issue of medication. It also includes things that we consume but that aren't food items. So do they require kosher certification? Do we have to ascertain that they don't contain any chametz ingredients? Or are we allowed to take medications for with medicine that may in fact have some chametz ingredients? What do we think?
You know what? It's very timely because the truth is, because Purim night followed the fast day and I didn't take any of my potions, I was sick like a dog.
Right. So I just want to say at the outset, really this discussion isn't talking about either a dangerous, a life-threatening situation, or for the most part, not medications that, in particular, that another equivalent medication can't be found and will, would result in health issues. You know, those are even in a category where we'd be allowed to, quote unquote, violate some things
Right,
in the Torah.
but before the fact, I didn't know. And before the fact, I didn't know that if I didn't take my antihistamine or I didn't take my vitamins, I would f be so sick.
Right. So because those are, and generally in categories, not there's a whole question about vitamins in halacha. Like different vitamins are for different purposes are created differently. So again, this question isn't really relevant
Right.
for a situation where if someone doesn't either take a medication is in a dangerous situation or doesn't continue on a regimen and that will disrupt things. Not really as relevant to our case because there would even be leniencies with consuming and even food for that matter that has chametz. But the question is really more in the category of medications that are not needed for to save life, but they're needed for, let's say, an uncomfortable condition or even a mild ailment. And generally in halakha, that's referred to as the most minor type of ailment is called mechush, meaning you're concerned. It's and generally that would be something like a mild headache, you know, or being congested. It's something that's uncomfortable, but it's not really inhibiting your functioning. And you know, we'd really never say that it's dangerous. There's a category that's a little bit more severe of a chole she'ein bo sakana. You have something, you have a condition, you may be really sick, meaning it may interfere with your functioning. It may be something that you would take off from work for, and maybe something that you need medication to address, but isn't something that's life-threatening. And granted, it's and this is relevant to Shabbos as well. Some of the categories merge, meaning what's not life-threatening could under circumstances be life-threatening. But basically, in the category where a medication we're assuming isn't absolutely essential for life. So, is there a concern at all about what ingredients are in your medication? What do you think?
So can we take a specific example?
Meaning examples of, okay, let's say someone, maybe let's say
I
someone has
have
my.
one. I
Maybe
have
someone
one.
has migraines, and you know migraines have different degrees of severity. But let's say it's something that's like that would be an example. It's something that's very, very uncomfortable. But in what I understand, in most cases, it's not life-threatening. So on Pesach, is there any type of imperative to change one's medication, or could we say that medication isn't a problem? Maybe when we talk about chametz, we're only talking about food. We're only talking about eating.
Rabbi, there was a time when medication was made with, in order to make compounds like pills, you had to use cornstarch. It was like a thickener. And so that's why I think the original, the issue of consuming things and for Ashkenazim, that's obviously an issue. So that's why I think there was a time when it became very imperative. Like that was where the big argument, because that was the only way to make pills.
But we're more lenient with kidneys.
Right. Cornstarch is kidney oat anyway. But I think the question still, and it happens to be some postgame are more lenient with, in that case, with kidney oat. But the question might be, well, do you need to worry about what ingredients are in your medicine? So that really depends on what you consider eating. And Pesach, we're not allowed to eat chametz. So now there's a question.
I heard during the year, there's two opinions about whether the medication or the supplement mamish has to be kosher.
Kosher. So it's really the same issue. We'll see. Maybe there might be additional stringencies for Pesach because of owning, but many of the issues will overlap with that question as well. Does medicine just in general have to be kosher?
So what I heard is that certain people, I think it's sort of maybe a Litvish thing. Sometimes they'll say, well, wrap it in a piece of tissue.
Uh-huh.
So it's clearly not edible, and then you can swallow it.
Right. So that may have two things that would result in leniencies, that maybe it's not edible and maybe it's not eaten. So we have to really address those two questions. Those are the main things we're going to look at. What's considered eating and what's considered food? And maybe if something is either or both not considered eating or food, then we may have some grounds for leniency.
The thing that I'm concerned about would be the melatonin. Because they have two types of melatonin, some that you swallow and some that you sort of suck.
Right, and that would also be different if you
have a flavor.
Right, right. Flavor is definitely going to be an issue. So now we have to address the question of what is considered eating. So is swallowing considered eating? Just swallowing. Let's say you don't chew.
I don't think so.
Don't you have to taste the item that you're eating in order to consider it eating?
Maybe. Maybe not. So there are a couple of sources that address this. Number one, the Gemara in Yoma, source number one, tells about a case where a non-Kohen, and we have some Kohanim here, but a non-Kohen takes plums of Truma, swallows them, and vomits them out. Okay, not very pleasant. Then another person ate them. So the first person pays the amount of the plums plus a fifth. That's a penalty. If a non-Kohen consumes a truma, which is designated for a Kohen, mistakenly, not if they do it on purpose, so they have to pay the value plus a fifth. So, but the second person doesn't need to, only needs to pay the price of the wood. It's not considered food. And it's not considered eating. And Rashi says, why does the first person have to pay? Sha'afhi derech achilasan. That even if you swallow them, the language that the Gemara uses is shebala shisvin shel truma vehekiyin, that you swallow the plums of truma and you throw them up. So maybe you could say what I did altogether wasn't eating. But that person, that non-Kohen who eats that truma or consumes that truma in that manner would still have the penalty of someone who ate it. And Rashi there says that's because it's considered eating. So a little bit less of a more palatable case, no pun intended.
Is it eating or is it transforming the food?
Is transforming?
Like I saw this really disgusting video of this guy that he drank while standing on his head a pitcher full of eggs. And then he stood up and he regurgitated it, and then he cooked it, and then he ate the eggs.
Okay.
So it was like totally disgusting.
Right. So this is the following to the next case is, so apparently.
Rabbi, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Rabbi, just one thing about this person who's got to pay the principal, what was it, plus a fifth?
Yes.
Yeah. Why is it not considered stealing?
Well, it's taking the property of a Kohen. That's why he has to pay for it.
Yeah, but why isn't it considered stealing?
Well, he didn't steal it, but it is considered use of a Kohen's property. Let's say a Kohen gave it to him, or he
got
it with permission.
No, I guess I'm not making myself clear. I'm instead of worrying about is consuming it and vomiting it out, okay, he took something that didn't belong to him.
So that's also a problem. I mean, it's like that part, it's an important point, but it's not going to be so relevant to this issue. Maybe we can discuss at the end. The main consideration there is that it defines this type of consumption and expelling eating. When it applies, so we'll take a case that may be a little more familiar to us. What about when it comes to eating matzah? What if someone just somehow swallows matzah? He doesn't chew it. Says he fulfilled the mitzvah of eating matzah. So the Gemara Pesachim says, Amar Rava, Rava said, Bala matzah yatza. Someone who's just swallowed matzah without chewing it has fulfilled the mitzvah of matzah. Le'amar lo yatza. If you swallow maror, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. Because we assume that there's a difference. That maror, there's a requirement to have the taste of maror. You're not going to accomplish that. For matzah, seemingly the requirement is just to eat it. And apparently we consider this an act of eating. Bala matzah maror, what's going to happen? You swallow both matzah and maror. So yidei matzah yatza, yidei maror lo yatza. So again, the same problem. The maror you have to actually taste. But the matzah, if you just consume it like this, you just swallow it, you fulfilled your mitzvah.
Yeah, Rabbi, can you swallow matzah that is kazayit? Is it, you know, isn't that kazayit large enough that you need to chew?
Probably, but there are, I guess it depends how big your kazayit is, if they're different sizes, but I don't know. There are probably people, Rana said there are all kinds of people. There probably someone can swallow that amount of matzah. I don't know if you want to go on YouTube, or maybe it's a better use of your time. But in a case where that would be, but where that would happen, it's just telling you that even if you don't chew it, you fulfill the mitzvah. However, krachan besiv uvlan, if you wrap it, the matzah, in a type of a pomnet, where this is going to be touching the issue that Rhonda mentioned about wrapping it. If you touch it in, if you wrap it in that type of thing, af yidei matzah nami lo yatza. In that case, even the mitzvah of matzah you haven't fulfilled. And that's because, assuming if the matzah doesn't even touch his mouth, then we don't consider that eating. So the Rashbam notes that this isn't ideal. He says, Bala, the case of Bala matzah, you swallow matzah. Bozeh gets a shirei kayim be'erev sochlu matzos, because the Torah says, in the evening on Pesach night, you should eat matzah. You ate matzah. Shirei achila he that is considered eating. So he said, now we say clearly that's considered eating. Miyu lecharchila tam matzah be'inan. Ideally, granted, and that you should, tasting the matzah is preferable, but because the requirement is only to eat the matzah, even if you didn't chew it, you've still fulfilled the mitzvah. So far, what might this mean for medication? So if I were to just see
if
this,
you don't...
sorry?
If you don't taste the medication, if it's you might have an exemption.
Well, I think not. That it's telling you that if you, let's say it's just a pill, maybe we might say, well, you're not eating the pill, right? You're just swallowing it. But apparently just swallowing something in and of itself doesn't exclude it from the category of eating. So we might be a little bit in trouble. If let's say the factor of swallowing it may not help us in regards to pills. We'll see, wrapping it may. Because if you wrap it, at least for the mitzvah of matzah, it's not a prohibition, but at least for the mitzvah of matzah, that would prevent you from fulfilling the mitzvah. And so what's the reason why certain things are considered eating and certain things are not? So the Noda B'Yehud there, Pesach Landau, said that on a biblical level, you're only liable for eating prohibited foods if it's beneficial. That it has to at least have some sort of benefit for you.
So if it's going through a tube in your stomach, it doesn't count.
Right, right. That's what he's saying. That at least the minimal benefit is so food goes in your throat. You know, it touches your palate. It does something. And if it's not, then perhaps it's not considered eating. It would only be rabbinically prohibited. But he says, what do we consider beneficial? We consider beneficial if it goes down the throat. So just like we see with matzah, it may be the case with pills as well. You may say, well, something going into my mouth, I'm not chewing it, maybe I'm not having the whole experience. But basically food going into my mouth, going down my throat, that's something that's considered a normal enough manner of eating to make it prohibited.
I think somewhere I saw you could use a suppository.
Right. Well, we'll get to other right. So that wouldn't be eating.
Because that's not the normal manner of benefiting, right?
Right. Or certainly it's I don't think it would be considered eating by any definition.
But Rabbi, isn't beneficial based on two factors? It's beneficial either from a nourishment perspective or from a medicinal perspective, whether you swallow or chew it. Those are the two benefits, either from a medicinal or from a nourishment.
Oh, okay. So we'll get to that. We'll get to that. If I understand, basically what you're asking is, could you say, is the fact that I'm consuming it mean that I consider it beneficial?
Correct.
Right. So we'll get to that. That's going to be something that is a challenge. Because we'll see, one, maybe a mitigating factor is that it's not consumed in a normal way. And maybe our threshold for abnormal is pretty high, but if something isn't consumed in a way that people consume food, maybe that'll be grounds for leniency. But we'll also see that, we can see that the part about the taste, you have one abnormal manner of eating, and two, we'll get to in a few minutes, the question of taste. So another case that the Gemara brings about unusual or usual, but in this case, medicinal use of prohibited foods. So this is a case we were touching on different issues, or that we had truma, we have chametz, which is the main discussion. This is orla, fruit that grew on a tree within 3 years of its planting. So cases in source number six, Marva Ravashi, Ashkepe La Ravina, Isayef La Liberate Fiku Harke de Arla. Marva Ravashi found Ravina rubbing his daughter with unripe olives. This is assumed to be for medicinal purposes. So Amarle, Marva Ravashi said to him, Amor de Amar Rabbanim Bishasa Sakana, Shalom Bishasa Sakana Miyatmor. So didn't the rabbis only say that you can derive benefit from orla, from this prohibited item, in a time of danger? But if it's not in a time of danger, then they didn't permit. So what does he respond? Amar Lei, Ravina said, you get to respond. Hai ishta de tsmirta nami kishasa sakana damya. That a high fever is also a time of danger. And I've heard from doctors that a fever, don't discharge by the temperature. A fever can actually indicate a significant danger. So that's one response is, if we only permit, okay, we only permit it in the case of danger, but this is a case of danger. She has a high fever. Alternatively, ikada amri, some understand it. Amarlei midi derech hanaka avidna. Am I doing this? So this is not a way of getting pleasure from the usual type of benefit from the olives, which would be to eat them. So he was arguing that perhaps either in a medicinal or in a life-threatening situation, well, that would apply to across the board for every or other quote-unquote violations in a case where there's a threat to life. But he's saying this isn't a way that this isn't the normal use of the item, and therefore maybe even if there's not a danger to life, we'd be allowed to use it. So the first thing we saw that may mitigate the problem is if it's eating in an abnormal way, in a way that doesn't provide benefit. We could talk about what that is, and it seems like just swallowing something would still leave it in the category of eating. But perhaps other things that are more unusual, where you don't have any contact with the throat, or otherwise, may not be considered eating at all. So that's one possibility. Another factor that may permit things like medicine could be their taste. As Nathan says, and this is a principle we find in many areas of kashrut. In fact, much of kashrut, we talk about different pots and pans, meat and dairy, much of that depends on taste. That fundamentally, food is forbidden or taste is transferred. Something becomes milk and meat, something's become not kosher because there's some sort of positive taste that's transferred or that's enjoyed. And this is based on a verse in the Torah regarding nevela, regarding a carcass of an animal. And you're only allowed to eat an animal that's slaughtered properly. So the Torah says in Surah 7, Losoflu kol nevela, you're not allowed to eat any unslaughtered animal carcass. Lager asher bisharecha titnena vachla. You should give it to a ger toshav, someone in a non-Jew who lives in Israel, okay, who observes the seven Noahide laws. It says if you don't have that, that's what kosher slaughterhouses do. Either it says to give it to a ger toshav, or to give it to sell it to a non-Jew. So that's what many kosher slaughterhouses do. Much of the meat is they find is a trefa. There's something in the animal that makes it not kosher, even if it's slaughtered properly. So what do? They sell it to the non-kosher slaughterhouses. So what is this telling us? Meaning it's a nice direction. You know, it's a practical advice. You can't eat it, so give it to someone who is allowed to eat it. But the Gemara says, kol haruya lager kruya nevela, that anything that is fit to be consumed by a ger, but really meaning is that it's fit for human consumption, that's called nevela. That's called a non-kosher piece of meat. She'ein ru'uya lager, ein kruya nevela. But something that's not fit to be eaten by a person isn't called nevela. So this tells us a very important principle that has many, many ramifications, is maybe prohibited foods, right? We have, non-kosher meat. So is non-kosher meat inherently prohibited, or is it only if it tastes decent? Let's say you have a non-kosher steak that's been in the sun for 2 weeks. So maybe is that, if you ate that, would you be in violation of eating nevela?
Why not?
Why wouldn't you be? Because it's not fit. It's not fit for human consumption.
It's not fit to eat. It would have been.
The Torah says, and the Gemara learns that only something that's fit to eat, it's fit for human consumption, is called nevela. Right? What's prohibited is nevela. But maybe this putrid, completely spoiled, inedible piece of meat is not considered. Is maybe it's not kosher anymore. It's not considered nevela. That seems to be what it's telling us. Right? Shocking, right? Right? You could have a if you want to, may not be able to do for the outset, but you find a steak that's been on the ground for, let's even say, 6 months out in the hot sun. So, you might have a shot. And this applies to Pesach as well.
Would you be able to feed an animal with this sort of meat?
So we have a lower standard for feeding an animal, at least as far as kosher is concerned.
A kosher animal, I'm talking about.
But this is saying even a non. This is talking about an avail. This is talking about an animal that. One, you're allowed to feed animal non-kosher food, not mixtures of meat and milk, but you're allowed to give it to an animal. What this is saying is that we're only considering food, quote-unquote, treif, what we call treif, if it's fit for human consumption. But we see black on white that if it's not fit for human consumption, then it's not, quote-unquote, treif. That's pretty clearly, and we see this with.
Of course, you can die of food poisoning, but that's a whole other story.
Right, right. So you don't really gain much, but it's saying that we only consider food prohibited if it's fit for human consumption, and this will apply to chametz because on chametz, it's even more strict than other not kosher food. You're not allowed to get any benefit from chametz. But look at the following case in source number 8, Garm Sachim says the Amar Rava, Charakol. Kodem zmano, if one shard leavened bread before the time where it's prohibited to eat chametz, that's the at least on the Torah level, 6 hour, midday on Erev Pesach, mutter bana afil v'achar zmano, that it's prohibited to benefit from even after midday in Erev Pesach. The case is you have a bagel, you put it in the fire, not just gets toasted, but it gets really, really burnt, and you want to keep that bagel around, so maybe you could use it. But note what it says. You can trial this at, well, actually, Erev Pesach now is at Shabbos, so you can't burn it then. But what does it say? Meaning we'll just have to read the words. What does it say that it's permitted to do?
To derive benefit, but it doesn't.
To derive benefit. Does it say it's permitted to eat?
No.
It doesn't say it's permitted to eat. Do you think deriving benefit includes eating?
Yes.
What other benefit is there?
Let's say a charred piece of bread. You can maybe write with it.
You can feed an animal with it.
Maybe you. I think this is talking about something that's really charred, but feeding it. But right, that would be a benefit. So this is a discussion in the postgame. It's a debate between the Ran Rabbeinu Nissim and the Rush Rabbeinu Asher in the Middle Ages. So the Ran Rabbeinu Nissim in source number 9 says the following. EC notes, it says Rabbeinu Mutter Behanaso. He says that it's the Gemara says that it's permitted to benefit, but it says Lav Dafka Hana. He's saying it doesn't mean, it uses the word benefit, but it doesn't mean specifically or only to benefit to huadinami achila, the afra ba'almahu. That it also means that you can, just like we say, what other benefit is there from, you can maybe think of something, but what other benefit is there from food than eating it? So he says, when it says benefit, that just speaking of, that includes eating.
It usually means selling it.
It could be selling it, right? Right. It doesn't have to be eating. What the Ran is saying is, in this case, it means. Meaning, when it's talking about this particular case, it doesn't mean that you're only allowed to, let's say, do business with it. I don't know who'd want to buy it, but you're not allowed to eat it. He says nobody. When the Gemara says that mutzer bahana, that it's permitted to benefit from it, so you're allowed. That means even eating it. He says, don't look at the word benefit so carefully. It means you can also eat it,
Rabbi. Eating it when?
Pesach.
You're kidding me.
Well,
it says permitted time.
But this isn't toasted. I'm talking, this is really, really burnt. This is, you put in your fireplace, you have, we're talking about really, really burnt. So you can use benefit from it. That's for sure. That the Gemara says. The question is, what about eating it? So if that's the case, right? And you learn Gemara, you have to learn very carefully. If it's like, so why does it just say Hana? Why doesn't it say Achila as well? They're eating it. So he says, because it's no longer considered bread, meaning that bird charred thing is that we would not call it bread. It's not normal people don't eat this type of charred bread. So therefore, that's where it says that it's permitted to benefit. But he says that's not excluding eating. When it says it's permitted to benefit from, that includes eating as well. Sorry, Stephen, you're saying?
That was my point. The point I was going to make is that it's no longer recognizable as bread. Therefore, it has a different category. No longer, it's not considered lechem.
Right. And that's why he says it doesn't say eating, because when we're learning the Gemara, we're not thinking, oh, am I allowed to eat it? But he says, if you want to eat it, you can eat it. But then we have another opinion, the opinion of the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher. So he has an understanding of this concept that if something is unfit for human consumption, then it's no longer prohibited. But he has an understanding that's going to throw a wrench into this. It's going to make it more difficult than to say, because if we just had this, maybe we could say that one, possibly swallowing pills is the normal matter of eating, though it may be, but maybe we could say just based on this, maybe this isn't considered food or isn't considered chametz. Maybe your swallowable pill is like the case of the charred matzah. It's not something that people eat. You could say that. It's probably not something that tastes good. So maybe that might help you. However, the Rush in source number 10 presents a problem. He says, how do you define what's no law? Well, I'll say the opposite. What if something, that piece of steak that was on the sidewalk for 6 months, we'd say objectively most people wouldn't eat it, but what if you want to eat it? Then is it considered food again? Then is it considered fit for human consumption? Meaning we're saying it helps if it's not fit for human consumption, but let's say I want to eat it. So the Rush presents a concept.
You're putting yourself in danger.
Okay, you could be putting yourself in danger. Probably the charred bread probably isn't dangerous. I mean, it's probably not good, but just in principle. Because it could have other applications, a very bitter taste. But the Rush says that there are those who want to say, Yeshua answered Lomar, Lav Dafka Hana, who had the Nami Achila the Afra Ba'amahu. So it says, like the Ran, some want to say that, no, when the Gemara says Hana, it also refers to eating. But the Rush says, Lomistaber, this doesn't seem correct. The Afa P, the Batla Dasa Ochel Etzel Kol Adam, that even though this burnt chametz is, most people don't eat it, most people don't consider it food. But because this person eats it, maybe for him it's food, right? How do we decide what's not fit for human consumption? Well, we assume someone wouldn't eat it, but let's say I want to eat it. So the Rush says, if I want to eat it, I'm makshiv it. I consider it important. I consider it food. So maybe for me this is a problem. So this is the question. And in some areas, we are concerned for this opinion. But that's going to make this a little bit more complicated, is this particular opinion. That let's say I want to eat it. Most people don't, but I do. So the Rush says, then it's problematic. So we're going to have to see exactly how this is going to play out. What about food that has, this is talking about charred food, what about food that is considered, you know, very, very disgusting. That it's not that objectively, it's not something that people would eat. So you have a case, the Mishnah in Yoma says, this is referring to Yom Kippur. Here says, if someone ate foods that aren't fit for eating, or drank liquids that aren't fit for drinking, or drank fish brine, different types of brine, then you're exempt, at least on a Torah level. It's not considered that you're consuming food. So,
but aren't you, in all these cases that you just mentioned, these last few cases, you are basically fulfilling your hunger pang. And you might be hungry, and by eating something that's not something that you should eat, but it might be fulfilling that you're no longer hungry after you eat it. You're getting a benefit.
That's basically or part of the rationale of the rush. He says if you eat it and you enjoy it, whether it's fulfilling some basic hunger needs or you just have a really strange taste buds, so maybe for you, and that's also true. That would be one factor to say that it's maybe for you. If you're using it to fill yourself up, then maybe it is a problem. I think we're assuming these things that are so putrid aren't even things that have any, because so disgusting, and hardly things that have any value, at least if consumed through the mouth.
So, Rabbi, what would be the bracha?
But then,
you don't make a bracha on putrid tasting food. Probably would be no bracha. It's in fact, it's if you're tasting food. The question: if you're tasting food to see if it needs a spice, but if you're actually tasting food to see whether it's edible. You know, whether it came out okay, so then you actually don't make a bracha. The bracha on food is for food that's considered enjoyable. So,
or that you're going to swallow.
Well, you could, right, even if you're just swallow it, but if it's let's say, I don't know, probably you ate, you know, uncooked pasta. You took a bite out of an uncooked spaghetti. I wouldn't make a bracha. You're not eating something that has any, or the, let's say the cases here, some kind of fish brine. You know, probably people who eat raw pasta, I don't know about drinking fish brine, but there's something like that. We're not considered really consuming food with ramifications in different areas of halacha. So
I don't know. Fish brine is a bit confusing to me.
So the how do other authorities understand this principle? So the Rambam says in source number 12, regarding Yom Kippur, someone who eats food that's not fit for human consumption. So he gives some of the examples. So he says, "Hare pater min hakares." That in Yom Kippur, the punishment for eating is an hour's worth of food is kares, is divine excision. They translate it, but very severe spiritual punishment if you eat a certain amount on Yom Kippur. But you don't get that. You're not liable on a Torah level. Aval makin also makas mardus. But we give you, it's called makas mardus. The rabbis were allowed to institute lashes for things that are rabbinically prohibited. So we're saying that something like this, if you ate on Yom Kippur, you'd be in violation of a rabbinic prohibition. So the rabbi said you still can't eat, you know, fish brine on Yom Kippur in case that, I guess you get hungry. So you might get desperate. But he says that you'd still rabbinically prohibit. And that's how others understand the rush, that even when he says that if you're personally like this food that's disgusting, so it would be prohibited rabbinically. It wouldn't be prohibited on the Torah level, because then we do assume that on a Torah level, it has to be food that's fit for human consumption more objectively. and that's in the laws of Yom Kippur and the laws of forbidden foods. He says that source 13, that all of the forbidden foods, as we discussed, you're not liable for partaking of them unless you partake of them in a manner in which you derive some satisfaction. And there are certain examples where you're not allowed to even benefit in other ways. Basar b'chalav, meat and milk, kilaya kerem, mixed species grown in a vineyard. For because of those, they don't say achila, but things that are considered achila, that are eating. So they're only prohibited if you do it in a way that brings some sort of satisfaction. And he is, so what does this refer to? If you ate things like liquefied fat that was so hot, swallowed in his throat, these the different things, so you'd be in violation of a rabbinic prohibition.
Does shear come into this at all? The measure of how much you take, or that's in doesn't matter.
So it does have some impact on the discussion. We do assume for a food that's prohibited on a Torah level, we do say chatzi shir aser min haTorah. That what Nathan is referring to is that for certain types of food, generally it's a kizayis measurement. An olive's worth measurement is for most things the amount that one would be liable for penalty for eating food. But the Gemara says it's a machlokas, a discussion. But the Gemara says chatzi shir aser min haTorah. Even if you have less than, for example, in Yom Kippur, you eat a very, very small amount, so you haven't reached the level where you could actually be punished on a Torah level, but it's still prohibited. So it might be relevant as far as punishment, but we assume that if it's prohibited, it might even be prohibited in a smaller amount. You have another issue if it's about proportions, if it's about bittel, that it's a nullification. If it's such a small amount, we'll get to that. So a source that kind of takes it from both aspects is, remember, we're talking about the abnormal manner of eating or abnormal types of food. So the Ishagas Aryeh, Rari Lev Gunzberg in source number 15 makes a distinction. He says, "Though there are not the aser v'davar sheisuro iser Torah b'divrehen emes rapin b'kolish ein bo sakana." This is actually getting more to our issue about pills. So something that's forbidden from the Torah on a Torah level, you're not allowed to give to a sick person who's not in any danger. He says also in Cain, Hakanami Aser Yom Kippur, Shein and Ruila Chila, Shisiya, Bechola Shein Bosakana. He also says on Yom Kippur, we wouldn't allow you to give that to a sick person who's not in any danger. So what do we say? Oh, Efshar Shein Ruin Shari Tve. Or do we say that if it's not fit for eating, then it's allowed? Dain Shame Ochel Mashke Aleim, that's not considered food or beverage. You'll be in Ruin, Behavle Afar the Alma, and that's considered like dust. So he divides the two issues. He says, if it's something that is not even edible, so then we could perhaps be lenient. If it's something that's not done in a normal manner of eating, meaning is only done for refuah, for healing, then he says that would still be prohibited. So he says, Vishol Jerich Achilasan, Aser Bechayev Alav Karis. So he's saying that if, really, this is with more medication, let's say I'm not eating, I'm just taking medication. So he's stringent with that, unless that which you're taking is something that's not edible. But just the fact that you're saying I'm taking it as medication, not food, unless there's a danger, he was stringent about that. Though some aren't so to be stringent about that medication. And really, considering both factors, considering one, the manner of consuming, but also edibility. The Ksav Sofer in number 16 says that may be different when it comes to medicine. He says, and he's framing this in light of the rush that we saw, right? The rush says that if you personally would eat it, then it's something that's important to you and would be prohibited. So he says that in source number 16, he's the Yeshlam, our time of the Asr Shalok Kederach Hanasan, Vishlo Derek Akilasa Mishum the Akshave. The reason why it was prohibited, even if it's not the way that you eat it or food that's fit for human consumption is because of akshave, the idea that your makshavet you consider it important. But because Rabbonim, that's what Nathan was saying, that I think it was Nathan who said that, because that's the principle there is if you're eating it to fulfill your hunger, so that's something that you consider in some ways beneficial. Aval, sha'ochel l'refua, u'beger hara, u'mar v'm'uta l'ayit. That if it's something you're only doing for healing, it's something that you don't, that you're not interested in the taste, you only take a small amount, it's bitter. He says, lo asura banan mishum la'akshave, alo akshave. This doesn't fall into the category of akshave, that because now I consider it beneficial, it's now prohibited. That's not what it's considering. Velo etiru. Like, and he says it's not actually, there's no prohibition at all. The kolatz melos rabbanon, not on a Torah level, not a rabbinic level, unless you activate the halo activate. This is not considered that you're considering important. And for a, if we say that even, that for a sick person who's not in danger, would normally not be able to consume something that's prohibited on a rabbinic level, but he says if it's just for medication, then that's not considered akshave. But I'm using everyone got akshave. Now I consider it important, so it's upgraded. He's saying that's only when it comes to food, but for medication, it's not called eating. That's one ground for leniency. That seems to be the approach of the Shulchan Aruch with regard to. With regard to something that's consumed only for medicinal purposes.
So, Rabbi, what about the situation where you have gel caps? You know, they're made of gelatin, and they may contain very essential medicines, especially for people needing slow release kind of stuff. Is that stringency sort of alleviated by the tshuva that you just read?
Yeah, that would mitigate it, because. This is something that has a bitter taste. Medicines that have a pleasant taste, or those will be more problematic. But something that you just swallow, that would be the grounds for leniency in that case. And the Shulchan Aruch says you eat like a burnt, creepy crawly type of things. Then you're allowed to. Bugs aren't kosher. You're allowed to eat it. And the assumption here is that if it's only done for healing, again, that's not in our category of food. Meaning we're assuming it's not edible, and it's not done in the context of eating. We don't consider it food, so they'd be lenient on that basis. And the Ramah says in source number 18, there are abundant mutlis rapos bana filo kolosha imbo sakana. That he says that all things that are prohibited benefit from a rabbinic level, it's permitted to use for healing, even for a sick person who's not in danger. He says, "Mutalis of sheret to burn a bug, o shard davar aster lachla refuah, to eat it for healing purposes, except for certain things that are prohibited benefit." So the assumption here is that something that's only used for medication may not be the upgraded, the akshave principle may not be upgraded because we're not talking about food. And what about when it comes to chametz? Okay, chametz has certain stringencies. Oh, I forgot to... So the Chazon Ish, Arishai Karelitz, in number 19, sends a ground for, he writes another grounds for leniency, right? Right now, keep in mind, we're talking about this whole idea, if I give an importance, is it something that's valuable for me? So the Chazon Ish has another idea. He says, we're talking about medicine that has forbidden ingredients, let's just say chametz. Even if you were to say that because I'm taking the pill, I consider it important. But most likely, I'm not taking the pill for the prohibited ingredient, right? I want the pill. The cup of the chametz is a very, very small amount, or the non-kosher ingredient. So he says, even if I were to say that I'm concerned about giving it, if I give importance to it and I'm interested in it, maybe that'll be prohibited. That's only if I'm interested in that prohibited ingredient. But right, but most likely, if we just have medicine, so we're not taking it all because it has a little bit of wheat in it or whatever ingredients there may be. We're doing it because we want this medicine. I don't care about the, I do not care about this. I don't care about the, about that ingredient. So he says, so that's what he says. He can, that he says, even ideally, you can eat this chametz in this type of, in the type of medicine. That, even though some are stringent with even chametz that's been putrefied, been destroyed because of this concern of the rush of akshave, but when it comes to a mixture of chametz, and you're just taking it to for healing, you don't care about the chametz. Even if someone who's a sick person is not in danger. Therefore, we're not concerned. We don't say akshave because if you, the word is your makshiv, you're concerned, you're considering something. Here, you're not giving any importance to the chametz ingredient. So that would be another grounds for leniency. The Rambam says that if you're something that's generally not eaten by people, which chametz has been mixed in, you can keep it over Pesach. There's no prohibition of owning it, but you're not allowed to eat it. You'd only be allowed to. So what about in certain cases where you're allowed to eat prohibited foods if your life is in danger? So that would be, meaning, when do we say that the threshold is only when your life is in danger, which wouldn't apply to most of the medications under discussion? That's when it's a pleasant tasting thing. When it offers some sort of satisfaction. But he says, when they're used in a way that doesn't offer any type of satisfaction, that it doesn't give any satisfaction to the palate, it's prohibited even if no danger to life is involved. And the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says the same thing, that hardened chametz of a pill, his basis for leniency is it's not considered food. If you're just swallowing it, then there'd be grounds for leniency. So what about wrapping the pill? So we saw way at the beginning that if you wrap matzah and you swallow it, then you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. That's not considered eating. So how do we know we can apply that? So that case is regard to fulfilling a positive mitzvah. Maybe for prohibitions, it's different. The Mishnah Lamela, commenting on the Rambam, says no. He says that maybe you would say that with regard to prohibitions, it may be different, but he says not. He says that something that doesn't even touch the palate, that's not considered eating, and that's not prohibited. So that's why, as Rhonda says, there is a stringency to perhaps wrap the pill, because if you wrap the pill, then you satisfy this consideration that it's not even touching. That's not even touching your palate. I was reading some articles about this. Some many rabbis will say in practice they don't recommend it. It could not be very, very safe. You don't want to, choke in the process of taking a pill. So you got to be careful about that. But that may mitigate some of the concerns, or satisfy at least that opinion.
Does this include vitamins or supplements to boost your immune system, for example? If it has a bitter taste or if you're swallowing it.
So you have you're going to have a bunch of considerations. You have maybe swallowing itself isn't considered abnormal enough, but maybe the fact that you're just taking it as medicine and the fact that it's a bitter taste, because we said that swallowing is a consider that if you wrap it in something, even if it's matzah, even if it tastes good, so that's not considered eating. So that'd be one of the considerations. Reb Chaim Ozer Gudzinski in the Achiezer says that you eat something that's even unfit for a dog. That's not even prohibited rabbinically. He says, "Eino okel iser ba'atzmo rak eladei siv." That this is talking about if you're wrapping it. Devadei moter l'refua l'kol she'ein bo sakana. And he says, for sure, this would be permitted for a sick person who's not in danger. If you wrap it up too, so that could be a basis for wrapping up. So now we'll see briefly, we don't have so much time. So based on these considerations, what do we see that maybe that we have to consider? Maybe swallowing alone isn't going to help, but one thing that may help is it tastes bad. Maybe even if you're consuming it, it might still be considered in the category of something that's inedible and not forbidden. Could be that it's only taken for medication. It's not considered food in the sense of being prohibited. So the postgame in general, so we'll see, if someone's life is in danger, so then for sure it's not a problem. But what if your not life isn't in danger? What if something like Nathan said that just used to boost your immune system? So Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Avadya Yosef, permit one to take medicine that's not fit for even canine consumption. That's a standard we use for chametz and Pesach. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that if you swallow it, if it's just a pill, then even if it contains not kosher ingredients or chametz, you'd be allowed to do it. So, but based on that, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that you should preferably take it a pill. I mean, you can just consider that it's some of the examples that we gave, if it tastes really bad, that's even with chewing it. But Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says another, based on the idea of it not being a way that people eat. So he recommends taking it, if possible, to take a pill as opposed to a chewable. And according to Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Avadya Yosef, so they permitted to take a chewable medicine that doesn't taste good or has no taste. But Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says you have to, you should consume it in a way that it doesn't involve the act of eating. So basically, and this is, I wanted to more touch on the principles and the practice because it's important to understand what the considerations are, why it may not be so simple that medicine is not food or swallowing isn't eating, but because medicine in general tastes bad, maybe also the fact that it's done for healing, there are definitely grounds to be lenient if there's even a need that's not life-threatening. And I encourage everyone to ask their posek about this in practice. One thing to note is you will find, the COR has, and different kashrus organizations have Pesach lists with medicine, with lists of Pesach approved medicine. So I notice in most of the articles, they will say that if it's a matter of changing medications, you speak to your doctor, there are grounds for leniency, but there are lists available and, many people do consult them about medicines that don't have any chametz ingredients. And I think even if we were to take the position, and there seems to be solid basis to do so, that it's not edible, all the grounds for leniency, there is an established practice, and you want to avoid taking it too far, but established practice of was referred to as Chumrah de Pesach. And because Pesach, it comes once a year, the amount that you can eat to be in violation is very serious. The violation itself is very serious. So people in general, will often accept stringencies, even if the basic halacha may not require it. And some of the sources say, don't make fun of the people who, clean their ceiling, whatever. Everyone has to decide what they need to do. It may not be required by halacha, but there is sort of an established custom of perhaps being quote unquote extra strict when it comes to Pesach. That's not to say that you have to, but I think that shows why, even according to the many authorities who permit, some will recommend that if it's possible to find an equivalent medicine that doesn't have chametz ingredients and it's easy enough to do so, then some will recommend doing so. Or if a posek who other than being a stringency, doesn't really say that that's required. So again, ask your posek, certainly if anything is necessary medication or if there's any threat to life or health, that's in a different category. But I hope this issue, this discussion shed some light on the issue. So now we see the Pesach list for medication. Now we have, people who say, oh, that's crazy. Medicine doesn't need to be kosher to Pesach. So maybe there's truth to both of that. But again, for any practical decisions, ask to consult your rabbi, consult your doctor. But hopefully learning about this will be careful to guard our health and also be careful about the prohibition of chametz and Pesach. And with that, enjoy everything that Pesach has to offer.
All right.